Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You can reach us at Bart Winkler, at Bart Winkler Show. Talking a lot of NBA tonight, as to be expected. Game 7 last night goes the favor of the Thunder, so they win the championship. And that level of excitement seems to be how people feel about it. It was a great series. Hey, people watch this game. Hey, people watch this game. NBA Finals Game 7 delivered with 16.35 million viewers, the most watched NBA game since 2019, the series on average only got just north of 10 million viewers, down 9% from last year and still the lowest since 2007 outside of the COVID years. The 16 million is about, I think game five for the World Series got about 15 million. So that's kind of in line with that, the clinching game. There were still some of those Caitlin Clark, Iowa women's basketball games that got a lot higher than that, like 18 million. And then, of course, the highest games are football. 16 million is basically a Week 10 Sunday night football game. But more people tuned in, so, you know, kind of Sunday night, maybe had that big game feel. So there we go. We enjoyed the game. It's good to be back. I was just off a couple days. Did not want to be on the air one way or the other. That wasn't why, but it just worked out. And I think the time off, Carlos, I think either it was just because I was off for a few days, because something happened to me on Sunday that either it was because I was off for a few days or the game has passed me by. I was at a friend's house. I was helping another couple move in. And, you know, it was a hot day and they had a truckload and, you know, we're happy to help. Our kids are friends. So, you know, I got to get some steps in and my kid was entertained and I didn't have to deal with it. So it was, they were doing me a favor and giving me something to do. But she was moving her stuff and she had at one point been in these classes where she sketches, you know, the naked people come in and they get drawn. She was in one of those classes. And my wife pulled out the sketches and there were two sketches and the guy looked just like me. The guy that she had drawn all these years ago naked that she had sketched looked just like me. And ooh. I failed. Hmm. And I saw him, I go, that's weird, and we like laughed about it. And then a couple hours later, I was thinking, and I thought, oh my God, this story happened. I had the picture sketch. I didn't even think about using it as content on the internet, on social media. I didn't even think about it for hours later. And I wonder if the game has passed me by or if I'm just off, because one thing that we like to say in radio when they say, oh, you only work 4 hours a night, I say, I'm always working. Everything is content. And there I was with naked pictures of a guy that looks very much like me. And I didn't do anything with it. And I'm really having a tough time with that.
I'm actually really disappointed in you. Now, I'm thankful in one end that you did not send me anything, because that's your natural impulse.
Didn't even think to take a picture of it for my own, like, I didn't think about it as content for the mass consumption. I didn't even think of content to, like, show my friends. I was in the moment, present in the moment, something I wish we would do more. And so, for one instance, I'm relieved that we got to have that moment. Now, I know I'm talking about it here, but on the other instance, I was like, am I not a content creator? Did I just let this content slip through my fingers?
You did, but I'm also very happy about that, because you might have sent it to me, and I can't have that. I can't explain why I'd get that picture.
I think when I saw the sketches, she did draw the entire body. And this person wasn't very well endowed. So it wasn't really me, you know. So
the next question is, how did she see you nude in order to do this drawing?
Yeah, I'm trying to wonder, did I for $200 at one point? Did I lay down for a sketch? You know, there's a lot of my life that I feel like is kind of a blur. I'm not sure. But we're in the content creation business, and we move forward here tonight. The NBA is in the entertainment business. I had a weird sort of misinterpretation of a moment last night, because TJ McConnell had gone to the locker room after the game, and he was like in tears, which is fine. And yeah, he's sad. But then there was a woman consoling him, and everyone thought that it was TJ McConnell's mom. And I was like, it turns out it was a vice president of the Pacers, but she had shooed away the cameras. And I remember when Dan Hurley was videotaped blowing up at the refs because of a loss against Florida. And then he was saying that shouldn't have been taped. It was in a restricted area, which it wasn't. It was in the tunnel. There's nothing restricted about that. But I was thinking to myself, like, yeah, that's a raw moment, and you don't want to be exposed in that. But it wasn't in the locker room. I feel like the locker room, you get a sacred place. You get a sacred, there's got to be somewhere. There's got to be somewhere that you can be with your emotions, with your feelings, that we don't need cameras. Now, I know that sometimes they let cameras into the locker room, and that's a cool vantage point, but everybody has to agree with it, and they know that they're being recorded. But you should be able to, if you're a player, be in the locker room. Just like if you're on stage as an actor, you should be able to go backstage and not have people see you. There should be somewhere. If you're an entertainer, there should be somewhere. Why I'm thinking about this is because I was complaining in game six with Tyrese Halliburton. He had this no-look pass that I don't think was no-look. He looked at the guy for multiple seconds, then did turn his head, you know, passed the ball, and did an unnecessary spin move, which I thought was just like, and I think that's what Tyrese Halliburton does. I think he overdoes things like that. You know, he's done the play with your, you know, I'm trying to, you know, the Jobu from Major League, or, you know, I got big, basically he's got, you know, showing he's got a big, you know, balls. And then there's the choke thing. So these guys are entertainers. You know, they're athletes. They're getting millions of dollars. They're entertainers. TJ McConnell is very animated when he's doing well. He's staring down the bench. Oh, there was that one, when he scored 10 in a row or something? He's locked down at the bench every time, basically looking at Mark Daigneault like, you calling timeout, bro? I mean, so in the moments of joy, these guys are animated as ever. In the moment of weakness, or the moment of, you know, where we can feel sympathetic for them, because it felt like you shouldn't see Tyrese Halliburton, like, ah, this sucks, he's hurt, and he knew it right away. That was on the court, so of course you're going to see that, but where should the cameras go? Where should the cameras not go? I kind of feel like if you're going to be celebrating, and we're going to have the cameras there, then we're going to also have the cameras there when you are sad. So I don't think a Pacers VP should have stepped in and pushed the camera away. I know he's vulnerable, but until you get to that locker room, your sanctuary, we are taping your emotions. And just because there are emotions that are good, there are emotions that are bad, this is an entertainment product. We are watching for all of the emotions. The joy of victory, the agony of defeat. You know, it's hard. We saw a lot of these College World Series athletes. They're very upset. You know, this means a lot to them. This means a lot to these guys. They don't know if they're going to be back. I just thought that was a weird moment that I think I disagreed with some people online about how far the cameras should be able to go. And, you know, maybe in the past they didn't go that deep into the tunnel, or they didn't go into the space underneath. But now you look at, like, a lot of these stadiums, guys, teams have built, like, restaurants and unique VIP areas where you get to see the players walk right out of the locker room. They're walking right by a restaurant. They're that moment of privacy ends right away. You're right into, I'm back in entertainment mode. So I do think that where I stand on this is you should have a safety zone. You should absolutely have a safety zone, but there are going to be moments that you don't want captured on camera. But if you want the good moments captured on camera, the bad moments are going to be captured on camera too. So I do feel like there's some people that aren't totally in on that. Regarding Tyrese Halliburton's injury, this was not something that anybody wanted to see. These guys on these calf injuries, I mean, it does ruin. It ruined the game. And it happened so early. You know, Tatum got hurt. Pacers were already up 3-1. I don't think we think the Celtics would have beat the Pacers, even regardless. Pacers, they were winning that series. Damian Lillard had his with the Bucks, very tough. Pacers have had the Bucks number. The Bucks were not going to win that series either. What is terrible now for both of those teams is they're going to be without their guy. You know, this is an Achilles injury. This is another year without these guys. And now you have Tyrese Halliburton, who the another year part, I don't even think we're thinking about that yet. But the another year part, when we do think about it, that's terrible for the Pacers. But this is game 7. And Tyrese Halliburton was looking like he was so locked into the moment. You know, because we've talked about him, and there's some games where he's done poorly. There was a game he had 4 points. There's some games where he doesn't do much, and then he's very clutch at the end. But he had 9 points in 7 minutes. He made 3 very deep threes. And he just looked like he belonged there. He looked like he felt way more comfortable there than some of these guys on the Thunder. Some of the guys on the Thunder did not look like they looked comfortable all game. I thought Jalen Williams, I thought he looked like the moment might have been a little too big. I mean, SGA was 2-for-12 from 3. Lou Dort was 2-for-9 from 3. They had some big, defensive plays, I think. Chet's 5 blocks were huge. They did a good job. Lou Dort had 3 steals, so they did a good job with turnovers.
Dort.
They had at least 14 steals, and that led to, they had 23 turnovers and had 32 points off of them. That was a problem in game 1, is they had a bunch of turnovers, but like no points off of them. In this game, they were able to do that. And you're going to always wonder, and I think that's what we're going to look back at. For as historic as the Thunder were, last hour I read you all these things that they've done better than any team ever. We're going to wonder. And the way that game played out, where the Thunder kind of spread things a little bit, they got up to 22, but then the Pacers came back, were within 10. I mean, there's no doubt that this is a closer game with Halliburton in there. There's very little doubt it's not a 1 or 2 possession game. And I think, watching that game, how it started, how locked in he was, and I thought the Thunder looked a little uneasy. The Pacers, you're going to walk away thinking forever that you would have won the NBA Finals if Halliburton didn't get hurt, and you are probably right. You look at how the Thunder got to this point, and there were a lot of injuries. There were a lot of injuries in the playoffs. Ja Morant got injured against the Thunder in the first round. The Thunder didn't have to see Steph Curry. He got injured, hamstring strain, and missed the rest of the series against the Timberwolves. Could that have been a different series? Even against the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon had gotten hurt. We throw around this phrase, hospital ring, where it's like, yeah, you won because everybody else was hurt. As good as the Thunder were, there were enough injuries that if you want to be a hater, you can be a hater. The Celtics last year, they were able to get by without playing Jimmy Butler. Donovan Mitchell missed a couple of games. Jared Allen missed some games. Damian Lillard and Giannis missed some games. And then there were just a bunch of other injuries in the playoffs. Guys that would either play through injuries or eventually get hurt. Back in 2023, this would have been the championship that was won by Denver. A lot of people hurt throughout that series. Chris Paul missed a bunch of games against Denver. And a bunch of people injured in the East. Going back to the Warriors and 2022, that would have been the Celtics. Tatum and Brown, they played, but they were banged up most of that series. So these injuries are really piling up in the playoffs. This postseason, I think, needs to be under a bigger microscope, because now you saw three guys tear their Achilles, and Dame's not the best player on his team. Tatum is, Halliburton is, but all three of those teams, like, you're looking at it, the Bucks need to trade Giannis, Dame's hurt. And now the Celtics, they need to trade Jaylen Brown because Tatum's hurt. And the Pacers, I mean, what chance do they have without Halliburton? But now all those guys are hurt in the East. Who's going to step up? But now we're going to get a whole season without Jason Tatum, without Tyrese Halliburton, without Damian Lillard. So you build up these stars, and it's just going to be a way. Tyrese Halliburton, all this equity into building him up as a star, Tatum the last couple of years too. And so this is a problem. I don't think the NBA should be like, this was just a one-off, Just an unlucky year where three guys went down with Achilles injuries. I think there's a lot that factor into it. Is it a one-sport specialty where these guys only play one sport and don't, use different muscles in different ways? Is it they're having calf injuries and then they're playing on it, and every time it seems to lead to an Achilles injury? Is it the season's too long? Is the season too long? I mean, the postseason's 2 months. There's 82 games. Can we shrink down the games? That's going to be a topic of conversation. The season is long. It's so long that we're inventing stupid ways to make it more interesting. In-season cup. That is dumb. It's dumb. It's a dumb thing. So this is something that the NBA, this should almost be their top priority. And especially since it happened in a game 7, and it probably decided the series. The Pacers can look back and say, we could have won that game, and the Thunder, we could have won that game. But you got to a game 7. I think the Thunder had more talent than the Pacers, but they, with the coaching, everything was, it was a well-played overall series, taking each other's best punches, settle it on the court. One game, winner take all, 7 minutes in, we lose Tyrese Halliburton. That is not the way that we wanted this to end. That is not what should be happening in the NBA playoffs. And maybe the simple answer is, hey, if you got an Achilles, you just don't play for a little bit. We would have lost Tyrese Halliburton in the series, so it would have been the same thing. But if they didn't play so many games, do they have all of this wear and tear on their legs? Can we shorten it? So that, I don't know the right answer. I don't see them taking 6 home games, 8 home games, 4 home games, 1 home game away from any of these arenas. And then I don't know what the right level is of less games means less injury. But it happened to 3 different guys. All non-contact. All big players on their teams. This can't just be something we say is a coincidence. This is a thing now. This is a thing, and the NBA's got to look at it head on. However they do that, I don't know. And that's something we'll talk about in the coming months. 888-710-4ISN. We'll hear from you coming up. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. If you're stuck in a timeshare and want out, contact Wesley Financial Group now. Get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Tyrese Halliburton, about half hour ago, putting up on at least Twitter, probably other social media as well, a picture of him post-surgery giving a heart. You know how people do that thing with their hands while he's in bed. It's a lengthy message. You can go find it, Ty Halliburton 22, but it starts with this paragraph. Man, don't know how to explain it other than shock. Words cannot express the pain of this letdown. The frustration is unfathomable. I've worked my whole life to get to this moment, and this is how it ends. Makes no sense. Talk about how the fan base doesn't deserve this. Talks about something Kobe said about there are bigger issues in the world than a torn Achilles. Finishes it off by saying, my journey to get to where I am today wasn't by happenstance. I've pushed myself every day to be great. And I will continue to do just that. The most important part of this all is that I'm grateful. Grateful for every single experience that's led me here. Grateful for all the love from the hoop world. I don't have to go through this. I get to go through this. I'm grateful for the road that lies ahead. Watch how I come back from this. So give me some time. I'll dust myself off and get back right to being the best version of me that I can be. No, he actually talked in the third person. He said, the best version of Tyrese Halliburton. I don't think I'd like how he stuck the landing, but he's hurt, and I don't want to pile on. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Marcus is in Atlanta. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, Bart. What's going on?
What's up? Not much. How are you?
Not much. I'm good. I don't know if it was you or the guy that comes on after you, but I remember having a conversation about how this OKC team is one game away from being one of the most overrated and underachieving teams in probably modern history. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, it does. I think we had that chat.
Right. So I want to just kind of circle back to that, even though, you know, they did win and kudos to them. They can only beat who's in front of them. They don't have any control of that. But what they can control is how well they do against them. And, you know, what I said was also there a lot of people were saying this was an all-time team. You know, 68 wins, that's impressive. They're a young team, yada, yada, yada. I just don't think I leave this playoff being impressed by them or thinking I just witnessed history or, you know, they're just a really good team. I mean, like you said, Memphis, they didn't have Ja, and then they had a week off to face the Nuggets, who were coming back, beaten down for seven games, and then got pushed to seven games without Aaron Gordon. And then, you know, their toughest competition out the West was a Minnesota team who I just wasn't ready. And they still managed to drop a game by, like, a million points. But nevertheless, this Pacers team that they faced in this finals, this shouldn't have went to seven games if they're really as good as people say they are. I mean, it's just, yes, they won, and they can only be who's in front of them. But this, I mean, Halliburton was hobbled for most of the series, and a lot of the players didn't play well. I mean, Jalen Williams, he's the third All-Star on that floor. He didn't play that well. Chet Holmgren didn't play that well. Shea, you know, he'll have his 30, but, I mean, what else does he have to offer? You know, I just don't feel like I'm impressed with anybody on this OKC team. They don't put any fear. If I'm any other NBA team, I'm not scared of them. I mean, I think I've just witnessed them look their age this series and this playoff. And it just kind of leaves me thinking like, okay, well, you know, have they peaked? Is this their peak? Have we seen the best of them?
Yeah, all good points. Marcus, appreciate the call. Good to talk to you again. The Thunder, it did feel like, I don't know, maybe it's the way they're built. Maybe this is Adam Silver's NBA. Maybe there was something missing. Maybe we shouldn't complain about there being something missing. I mean, what they were able to do, again, I'll just read some of these things. Plus 259, the best home point differential in a single playoffs. Plus 131, the best turnover differential in a single playoffs. 19-2, the best record following a loss in a single season. Plus 1247, best point differential in a single season. Was it the competition that was in front of them? Was it that they went on these runs in the regular season against teams that were maybe hurt or banged up or, you know, not at their competitive best themselves? Was it that they were just too good? And sometimes you can be too good and then you start to think, yeah, nothing special, even though it is special, but it gets to this weird spot where we just see it routinely. You know, like sometimes when the good player scores 20 every night and then he scores 25, big deal. When the player scores 13 every night and then he puts up 25, it's like, oh my God, what a performance. You get used to greatness. Are we already used to greatness? If you are, the next couple of years might be boring because the Oklahoma City Thunder are set up for quite a while, at least in terms of their roster makeup and the picks that they have. They've got the 15th pick Wednesday. They've got the 24th pick Wednesday. They've got a guy coming back who was a top 12 pick a year ago, who could be a top 5 pick if he wasn't hurt, in Nikola Topic. They've got 3 picks in 2026 as of right now with some protections. They've got, I'm just talking first round picks. They've got 11 first round picks from Wednesday night to 2031. They've got 8 first round picks from Wednesday night until 2022. They've got, in the next 3 years, 7 first round picks. They've done well to get here. They basically said, we're going to do the trust the process thing, and then it worked for them. So they've done well to get here. Sam Presti getting a lot of great accolades, as he should, for what he's been able to put together as their general manager. There was a video message or an answer that he gave a while back. This was in 2021, which was getting circulated yesterday for how clairvoyant it seemed to be.
As I said earlier, we can't be reactionary or emotional about it. We just have to keep chipping away every single day, knowing that over time we'll achieve our goals if we have the poise, the patience, and the willingness to adjust to the setbacks that we, you know, will inevitably encounter. As they say, shortcuts cut long runs short, and we're going to do everything in our power not to allow that to happen. And when we do get back to the postseason, we want it to be an arrival and not an appearance. And arrival meaning that we can return, we can be there, we can take some, some chance or bad fortune and not have it sink us completely.
And they've done exactly that. They had a couple of years since he said that in 2021, didn't make the playoffs. Last year, the number one seed, we thought they would go far. They lose in the semis. This year, they obviously are now NBA champions for the first/second, but really kind of first time in franchise history. Let's get to Mike. He's in Appleton, Wisconsin. Mike.
Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think it's terrible that we've had, you know, what, 3 or 4 major players this playoff season go down with these sorts of injuries. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think they all had calf strains kind of preceding all of this. Now, I work in healthcare, so I'm maybe a little bit more knowledgeable than the general public. Granted, my background isn't in like sports or orthopedic medicine, but I think the NBA certainly got to look into this. This is something that, I mean, it's almost unprecedented. And I think nothing in recent knowledge, at least that I have, like in the last 10 or 20 years, has even come close to anything like this.
I mean, it's 3 guys that all had a calf injury and then they all played on it and then they all blew out their Achilles. We've never seen anything like it. It's not just like, oh, that sucks, they can't play for a little bit. Next year is torched already from these 3 guys' perspective and from their team's perspective. Yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I hope something happens where it gets to the point where, you know, if somebody has a calf injury, they just sit them for a week, maybe 2, honestly, longer. Otherwise, this is going to keep being a recurrent issue.
Yeah, that might be the case. Mike, good to talk to you. That might be the case. But then if you get to that point, like, let's say there's a thing or just a standard practice where, all right, you have a calf injury, you can't play for a week. Or you got to go through calf injury protocol, you know, because we're worried about your future. Like there is with concussions, I guess, in the NFL. Well, if I'm Tyrese Halliburton, and you're telling me I can't play game six, game seven in the NBA finals. I mean, I just read that tweet that he posted a little bit ago where he says, I've worked my whole life to get to this moment and this is how it ends. Makes no sense. What if this is how it ends is, oh, we got to rest you just in case. I mean, wouldn't you take that risk? And you don't want to get hurt, but there's inherent risk in everything that we do. And everywhere that we go, we just make conscious decisions every day that it's worth it to do this, facing that risk. It's worth it to get in this car knowing about car accidents. It's worth it to get on this plane. It's worth it to go to this event. It's worth it to eat this food that's unhealthy for me, or to drink this that's unhealthy for me, or to do that. It's worth it to, we know the risk. And you start to take that away from people. I don't know that you can do that. I don't know that you can get to game seven in the NBA finals and say, Tyrese, we can't let you play. He would play 100 times out of 100. Even if you ask him now, you say, do you regret playing? How could he? It's game seven of the NBA Finals. These don't just come around every quarter. Maybe they never, ever get back. So it's really tough. It's tough, but we saw in the postseason, and that was just those guys with the Achilles injuries. Steph was hurt with a hamstring strain. He missed a good chunk of the series. Grizzlies lost Ja Morant against the Thunder to a hip contusion. LeBron, he had a game that he missed. Jimmy Butler, Julius Randle, Aaron Gordon, Porzingis, Donovan Mitchell, all these guys were hurt. Missed some games. So it's really tough to try to know what to do. 888-710 for ISN. We'll come back right now and update Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710 for ISN. We are approaching the halfway point of the show. We have talked about things from the Thunder perspective. Certainly have talked about things from the Pacers perspective. I do really need to get in some thoughts about Adam Silver tonight. And I do really need to get in some thoughts about Kevin Durant tonight. But before I talk about that trade, I should pass along that there was a different trade that happened just moments ago, as reported by ESPN. The Boston Celtics have made their first move of the offseason. They are trading Drew Holiday to the Portland Trail Blazers for Anfernee Simons and 2 second-round picks. Portland had originally acquired Drew Holiday in the Damian Lillard deal and then later moved him to Boston and got 2 first-round picks. You might not remember that because the media wanted you to think that the Bucks made a mistake by trading Drew Holiday to the Celtics. How could the Bucks trade Drew Holiday to the Celtics? Well, they didn't. Will you think that Damian Lillard just got traded for nothing? No, they did that trade, and then the Trailblazers did that trade. So, hey, Bucks got a lot of heat for trading Drew Holiday after he helped win them a chip. Are the Celtics going to get the same heat? Of course they won't, because the Celtics are brilliant and the Bucks don't deserve to exist, according to many. So interesting trade. Simons joins Boston on an expiring deal, so he gives them some offense on a team that will need it. And also they're not tied down to him. So I don't know that he will ever play with Jason Tatum. And then the Portland Trailblazers are trying to compete, I guess. I just want to take a look here because, you know, we talk so much about them. So, you know, it's a young team. They got Scoot. They got Shaedon Sharpe. They got Donovan Clingan. We'll see what they do. I mean, the West. Oh God, the difference between the West and the East right now is unbelievable. And I don't think we need to go to a thing where it's all seated as one. I think things ebb and flow. I think they'll be weak, they'll be strong, they'll be strong, they'll be weak. But right now it is, the pendulum is, it is rough. Bobby Marks breaks it down like this. To Boston, Anfernee Simons. $25.9 million unrestricted free agent in 26. The Celtics get off the combined $72 million owed to Drew Holiday in 26, 27, and 27, 28. It's a projected $40 million in tax savings next year. They are now $18 million below the second apron. Woohoo! And Simmons extension eligible. Drew Holiday has got $30 million on the books. Then 32, then 34, then a player option for 37.2. I think that might be wrong. I'll double check. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get to Eric in Buffalo. Eric.
Yeah, first, I love the show. It's amusing and informative. And, like I said to your
whatever, my guy Carlos.
Carlos, I said to Carlos, I was like, in 20 years from now, everybody's just going to remember OKC won. You know, just win, baby. Like I'm not, I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm used to losing. But you know, but yeah, they'll be remembered as the winners, and everybody else will be like, it might have been the year that one guy, you know, blew his calf out or got a, you know, an injury. It sucked because I wanted Indiana, but all in all, it was okay. I don't know. Everybody's like, oh, there's no major stars and all that. Here's one last question, though. Where did this MVP, the Clippers gave him away?
Yeah, he was in the Paul George deal. Yeah, so he played, I think, one season with the Clippers.
Right.
And if you go back and look at some of the highlights, I mean, it looks like you could tell he was going to be a pretty decent player, and the Thunder thought highly of him. But then they also got a bunch of picks, one of which they turned into Jalen Williams, who then became their second best guy.
Well, Sleepy Eyes Williams, I like that guy. He's a tough player.
Yeah.
then that owner again from the Clippers again, he's just a great one.
Very good. All right, thanks, Eric.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
Eric in Buffalo, U2, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So, yeah, Drew Holiday back to Portland. And when I say back, it's like he was there for maybe a week. I don't even think he ever even stopped in Portland. Drew is a two-time champion. He's been in the league since 2009. One with the Bucks, one with the Celtics. Before that, he was probably, I mean, he was with the Sixers for a while. And then his run in New Orleans, I mean, every year you could put together most underrated players in the league, and he would always be atop that list. Three-time all-defensive first-team player, another all-defensive second-team player, a lot of other different accolades along the way, but again, finally won a championship with Milwaukee and then a second one with Boston. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So, still want to talk about Kevin Durant getting dealt to the Houston Rockets. In an absolute, I mean, the problem with that trade is the Suns were kind of forced to have to trade him because Durant was dictating that. And then the Rockets, they still have a lot of assets left over if they want to make like another move. Or if they just want to compete with the guys that they have. They didn't have to give as much up as you thought maybe they would have. But KD, there were other offers, and he said, no. So he kind of forced the Suns' hand. I mean, if you're a Rockets fan, yeah, you should be thinking that you're a title contender next year. And if you're a Suns fan, the Matt Ishbia era has not been as good as you thought it might have been. So we'll talk about that coming up. I want to talk to a lot of you guys about this finals. Continue to do that. 888-710-4476. We'll be back. Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.